Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
The head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, joining us now here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sean, I hope everyone in the family and your extended family are healthy, safe, and sound.
They are, George. I appreciate that, man. That's crazy times right now, but fortunately, everybody's in good shape on our end.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. So what the heck have you been doing, Sean?
You know, it's a good question. I've been able to probably be in better health and take better care of myself than ever. So I've working out, getting a little bit more rest, studying guys for the draft, and then continuing to become an expert on these Zoom or Microsoft Teams meetings with our coaching staff as we're kind of just going through what a normal offseason would entail. And so trying to just keep a normal rhythm and a routine like you would as if you're at the office, and that's kind of what we've done. And then I've been able to watch a little bit more TV than normal as well.
That's funny, because the last time you and I spoke last season, you know, I asked you at the end of the year, like, what's something you'd like to do better? And you said that you'd like to kind of find the opportunity to be better to yourself, whether that was getting in better shape or just being, I guess, being able to get away from football, even if it's just a little bit. So I'm glad to hear that's the case. What are you watching on TV?
You know, my fiance Veronica finally got me to watch a little bit of Game of Thrones. We've started out Ozark, so that's kind of what we're watching right now. But you know, it's I got to admit, I did see The Tiger King. I can't believe I watched it, but I did. So that's what we've been doing. But I've been achieving better balance, like we've talked about before, George. So that's a good thing, in spite of all the unfortunate things that are going on in our world.
Yeah, no question. And look, I just think that right now, and clearly, we're, like you mentioned, we're in an unprecedented time, and we want everyone to get through this, and I think we all will get through it together. But I think that just personally and individually, it's about finding that balance and honestly getting some sort of schedule or routine. Like, the radio show allows me to do that, and then I've got the kids to deal with and whatnot. My wife and I take turns on that stuff. Like, I just think finding whatever the routine you can get into, you know, working out or whatever, allows you to kind of stay sane in times like this.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's exactly the same page I'm on. You know, it's really, you talk about developing a routine, really establishing your process and your kind of daily rhythm. And, you know, fortunately, the space that we have and being in an area where, you know, there's nice weather and you can still, you know, go outside in your backyard a little bit, you know, has been good to just kind of take advantage of the time that we'll probably never get again. And so try to make the most of what this situation really is.
All right, I got a couple of quick questions before we get to the football stuff. All right, since you mentioned Game of Thrones, yep. How blown away are you by some of the storylines? It starts a little slow, but clearly it ramps up towards the end of season one. So where are you right now on Game of Thrones?
Yeah, we just started season three, so I kill off all the people that you end up really liking. You know, I mean, they, you know, at the end of season one, they're chopping my man Ed Stark's head off. Khal Drogo dies. I'm like, holy heck, man. These guys, you know, these writers, they have no remorse for killing off the good characters.
Yeah, man. That, like I said, it after about episode 9, season 1, where Ned Stark dies, it just goes from there. It is nonstop at that point. Listen, it only gets better from season 3 on. Like, if you're only in season 3, you've got a long way to go with some good stuff. So make sure you enjoy
that.
Yeah, and Tiger King, look, I haven't gone there yet. I can you sell me on Tiger King, like, or should you not sell me on Tiger King?
Here's what I would say. It's one of those deals that you start watching it and you're like, I can't believe I'm watching it. I can't believe it. Oh my, I cannot believe I just watched 7 episodes of this thing. You know, it's so crazy that you just, you know, the stuff that goes on, you know, and to think a lot of this stuff goes on in our country where there's, you know, these types of animals and they've got these basically zoos that these people are running. It's a pretty wild deal. And then you look at just some of the rivalries or, you know, ill will that comes about. It's crazy. It's, it's hard for me to recommend it, but I couldn't stop watching it once I started. So it's like the most, it was like the most fun you never want to have again.
Yeah, I hear you. Sean McVay, Rams head coach with you here. One last one before we get to the football stuff. Today is National Beer Day. And look, I think that I'm like you. I have found myself more in a workout regimen. But occasionally, I do like to dabble in an adult beverage. I'm not a huge beer guy. I do live my guys at the Dude's Brew here in Southern California. But I'm more of a wine guy. And then on special nights, I'll do the a little harder stuff. Where is Sean McVay on the different areas of adult beverages?
Yeah, so we've also been partaking in a little bit more adult beverage consumption than normal. I've gotten, we've got a bunch of different wines that my fiance's got us signed up for wine clubs. So I like a blend, a cab, a Pinot. I'm pretty easy, but I do love wine. And then if I'm drinking hard stuff, I'm not really like, oh, I have to drink this. I'll try different stuff. But typically, if you said if you're drinking alcohol, what do you have? And I'll have a vodka and soda, something like that. I'm pretty simple guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am. I'm a wine guy first. And then I like beer, like if I'm outdoors, right? Like if I'm at a barbecue or at like a baseball game or something like that. And then hard liquor when the night deserves it. It's not something I go to very often, but I'm a simple guy. Give me anything on the rocks and I'm good.
Yeah, we're exactly on the same page there, George. So, hey, flexible and versatile, that's what we can do.
All right. Speaking of flexible and versatile, you mentioned, being a little more savvy when it comes to technology and Zoom. Will you be using Zoom from your house? Like, how is the draft going to work with you? Where will you be drafting from?
Yeah, I mean, we're still, the league kind of sent out a memo yesterday, George, that we'll do it all from our homes virtually. And everybody will kind of be in separate locations. So the specifics of how we get that worked out with our IT and Les and Kevin Demoff and Tony Pastores, we're kind of putting our heads together and figuring out what's the most efficient, sound way of doing that with the communication that sometimes occurs between teams and then obviously when you're sending your picks in. So this is definitely unprecedented times, but I think we're ready to adjust and adapt and we're kind of working through that plan right now.
A lot of change, obviously, this offseason for you guys. How involved are you now in the decision-making process when it comes to that stuff, Sean?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been really good. I think as you continue to accumulate experience, George, you have a better feel for a lot of the things that, you can be firm in your opinions on. But one of the things I've always appreciated, since the first, since day one that I got here, there's been great collaboration amongst myself, Les, Kevin Demoff. We have a very similar vision. There's things that, I think back to just the 3 years of experience that I've had in this role. And you're always trying to learn and grow and learn from some of the things that maybe you would do differently and not lose sight of some of the things that have helped us, have a certain level of success. So it's always a good collaboration, but I think you get a little bit more ownership as you accumulate that experience. And that's one of the things that I've really appreciated, being able to reflect back on the 3 years that I've had here.
Sean McVay, Rams head coach with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Where would you say was the biggest area of growth for you as you look back at your 3 years as far as coaching is concerned?
Well, it's hard to say. I think you're always just trying to learn and self-evaluate, continue to surround yourself with really good people so that you can learn from them. And it's always about connecting, George. I think, just connecting with the players, with the coaches, just not losing sight of some of the foundational things that have helped us. And I think in some instances, you get so busy, you get caught up in different things and you can lose sight of a lot of the foundational principles that you want to really operate by, day in and day out. And, that's where I think I can continue to get better. But it's also just accumulating experience. We say it all the time with our players, repetition is the mother of learning. And as you accumulate reps, if you're able to be self-reflective and try to make sure you're always getting better and you're not afraid of taking some criticism, learn from your mistakes. I think that's where growth can occur, and that's what we want to try to achieve, and I'm no different than anybody else.
Speaking of growth, as far as Jared Goff is concerned, where's his maturation process, and what's the next step for him?
Yeah, I think what I was really pleased with Jared, just looking, especially at last year, George, is we had some adversity. We had some stretches where we didn't play as well as we expect to on offense. And I was really pleased with the way that he finished up the season. We played some good defenses down the stretch. He goes to San Fran and puts 30-plus on the board, when at that point I think New Orleans was the only other team that had done that. Played well against Seattle on Sunday night, had two really good games against Arizona. So I was really pleased with the way that he finished the season, was able to lead his teammates when we did have a little bit more change, especially up front than what the first couple years together had entailed. And so I think it's just continuing to be consistent with the decision-making, the accuracy, the anticipation when you're throwing the football, and just the overall command. You know, the quarterback position has so many nuances to it, and like anything else, man, you just learn from your reps, you keep getting better, and keep becoming an extension of the coaching staff, and then just being himself. He's got a natural way of leading, so like anything, it's just about maturing and using the experience to continue to grow.
How tough, Sean, was the decision on Gurley for you?
Oh, man. It's tough. It's tough, George, because, you know, there's a personal deal, and especially at these times when you're so restricted with your interpersonal interactions that can occur, you know, and I reflect back on, as I've kind of mentioned earlier in the conversation, when you look at the 3 years that you've been here and you go back and you start watching the film or you think about the memories, and this guy's been arguably as important as anybody for our success. I mean, you're talking about a guy, two first-team All-Pros, Offensive Player of the Year, where, you know, if you don't sit him, he's probably legitimately the MVP in the 17th season. He was, you know, his production was off the charts in 18, and a huge part of what we've been able to do and what's been, you know, fortunate for some of the success that we've been able to have is it revolves around Todd. And so to say those decisions are easy, they're not difficult, of course they're difficult. And then there's also a human element that sometimes we can tend to forget, because it is such a game that we love, and you don't think about those, you know, parts of it that make it really difficult. But I'm forever indebted to that guy. We have had a lot of great memories, and I wish him nothing but the best in Atlanta, and I think he'll do a nice job for them.
So, Sean, what's the plan at running back for you guys?
Yeah, I think Daryl Henderson's a guy that we really like. He had some injuries and some reasons that he didn't get a chance. And then obviously having Todd restricted some of the opportunities that he got last year. So we're excited about him. Malcolm Brown is a guy that's always taken advantage of his chances. And he's shown that he can really play on all three downs. And then I think this is a deep draft class at the running back spot. And if we feel like the value is there for where some of our picks occur, and if certain players are still on the board, I think you can potentially see us address that spot. But it's like anything else. Once we get out and start practicing, whenever that time comes, you know, you get the chance to evaluate it. But there are two backs on our roster we feel good about, and then we'll see if we end up adding one in the draft.
Couple more questions with Sean McVay, Rams head coach, with us here on 710 ESPN. You mentioned when we get practicing. Do you know about what's on and what's off right now as far as the off-season program is concerned and camps and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we're really working through right now is, all right, how do we get through? What's the specifics of the draft? And then what type of communication will the league allow and enable from a virtual meetings, whatever that might be? That's really kind of the next step in our process of probably what most likely is going to be the off-season, where it'll be restricted to just, you know, the communication that you can have on some of these, on some of the technology that you can virtually communicate and be able to, you know, FaceTime and do all that stuff. So that's what I think probably the next step is as far as exactly what's after that. You know, it seems like it's ever-changing by the day, especially as we get new information on what the spread looks like, hopefully trying to, you know, be a part of the solution of the downward trend and getting that curve going in the downward direction that we all want. But You'd go crazy, you know, trying to think about all the different scenarios. But I think like anything else, you just take one day at a time, and that's what we're doing. But it's really the draft, and then how we virtually meet with guys is probably the next step, George.
Sean, what can you tell us about some of the new additions to your coaching staff?
I'm very excited about these guys. When you look at our defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, he's been around Vic Fangio, who's a guy that I hold in high regard. Anybody that you talk to just speaks the world of him. He's sharp. He's motivated. He's a great communicator. He's got a great command and a high capacity for football. You know, he's been really good. I've really enjoyed working with him. I've really enjoyed observing the collaboration between he and our current coaching staff that's been in place on defense and where they'll go with that. John Bonamago, as our special teams coordinator, has a great track record. He's been a head coach at the collegiate level, winning a MAC, you know, a MAC championship. And he's a special guy. He's done a great job leading teams units, you know, for a handful of years. And I think he'll bring a great veteran presence to our special teams. And then on offense, you know, being able to add Kevin O'Connell, a guy that was in Washington. You know, I know Jake Gruden's been instrumental in a lot of my development as a coach, and he speaks the world of him. You get around him, great command, great ownership of the quarterback position. I think he and Jared will do a great job of working together, and I think you'll see that relationship be instrumental in some of the success that we'll have offensively, but then for Jared to play consistently like we know he's capable of. And then I think, you know, got a new running back coach in Thomas Brown, who's a stud. He played professionally. He was a back at Georgia. He's coached some of the best backs at the collegiate level, really helped them develop, and I'm really impressed with him. I think he's going to do an excellent job leading that running back room. So those four guys have really been outstanding additions to our coaching staff that I couldn't feel better about, and I think they're going to be all great great help to the success that we hope to have next year.
Sean, one more for you real quick. How much pressure is there to be more creative on you and the staff this season? Because, look, you still have an amazing amount of talent, but maybe not the name brand talent that you've had in the past.
Yeah, I think that's what every year is, George. You know, you got to adjust and adapt and evolve, and that's kind of what I was talking about, you know, with the experience that you have. And it's really just continuing to never let the complacency set in, really learn your players so you can figure out the best way to activate their skill sets. And, you know, I'm really excited whenever that opportunity will come to be able to do that and really collaborate with our coaching staff and certainly something we're excited about.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you guys on Hard Knocks whenever that gets going. And, you know, we'll see all the fun stuff. Maybe a Tiger King update there during Hard Knocks. Sean, stay safe. Stay healthy. Thank you so much for making time for us, man. Appreciate it as always.
Yep, always appreciate it, too. Thanks, George.
You got it. Take care. There he is, Sean McVay, head coach of your Los Angeles Rams.